Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for joining the Adult and Teen Challenge Upper Cumberland podcast. This is Pastor Tim McLaughlin. So glad that you have joined us today. We've been talking for the last several weeks about don't be a fool, fear the Lord. But I want to take a different journey today. We may come back to some of that. There's more that I'd like to teach you. But this morning, I don't know when you're listening, but I'm recording this in the morning, sitting here looking at the beautiful sunrise, and the trees have changed. And actually, it's so early that the ground is still covered white with frost. I love getting up early. I just pray that these podcasts are a blessing to you. Have you ever read something so many times that, you know, you just read it, and sometimes you just kind of, you go over it, for me, like I'll read something many, many times. I've shared this with you before. If you've followed our podcast, if you've heard me preach that I read a chronological Bible, and every year I read the Bible cover to cover, and I've done that for the last 17 years. And so you read over things, and sometimes it's just like, all of a sudden God says, now I know you've read this 17, 18 times, maybe even more than that, but I want you to get it. And that's where I'm at right now, is just, I've read this passage of scripture I'm going to share with you many, many times, and all of a sudden something clicked. Today I want to share with you something that has caught my attention. And one of the many prayers of the Apostle Paul, Paul had many, many prayers in his letters. A good friend of mine, Pastor Chris Sparkman, one time, he actually wrote a book entitled The Prayers of the Apostle Paul. Great book, and I would encourage, if you can find it, to get that. It's just an extra tool to help you in your prayer life. But the Apostle Paul had many prayers, and most of these prayers were for the churches that he was writing to. And so today I want to look at the prayer that he prayed for the church at Colossae. In this prayer, he gives instruction to the church that I believe every one of us as individuals, and every one of us as a body of Christ, every one of us that may be involved in ministry, that every one of us, regardless of where we're at in our Christian walk, we need to get a hold of this prayer and make it part of our lives, and that we would do what it says to do. Several years ago, I watched a movie, and it was a movie about the life of Martin Luther. And in the movie regarding Martin Luther, There's this guy, and he's like Martin Luther's spiritual father. He makes this statement to Martin Luther, and he says, sometimes we preach best what we need to know the most. Sometimes we preach best what we need to know the most. Sometimes I will get a hold of some things because it's what I need, and God just wants, allows me to share it with other people. But I'm really preaching to myself, and I don't know if this is the case today, but I hope that this is a blessing to you, because we need to take this prayer that Paul is praying here to the church in Colossae, and we need to apply it to every aspect of our lives. Go to Colossians chapter 1, and let's look at this. Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 9. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. If you have your Bibles, go with me. If you're driving down the road and you're listening to this podcast, hold on to the wheel and let me read this to you. He says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son, of his will, in whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins. Father, I thank you again for the opportunity to share this podcast, and I pray for each and every one that's listening. Give them ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to receive that which the Spirit of the living God is speaking to them today. And Father, we will give you the praise, we will give you the glory, and we will give you the honor, because you alone, Father, are worthy. And it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. I've been praying this prayer for several years. I often pray in my prayer time the prayer to the church at Ephesus. Lord, give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. Let the eyes of my understanding be enlightened. Let me know what is the hope of your calling. What are the riches of your glory and inheritance in the saints? What is the exceeding greatness of your power toward us who believe? I pray that often. And then I kicked over sometimes, and I will pray this prayer here in Colossians. Lord, for this reason, I don't cease to pray and to ask you that you would fill me with the knowledge of your will and all spiritual understanding, that I may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing you and being fruitful in every good work. Increase in me, Lord, the knowledge of your will and all of your might and all of your power, that I may have patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified me to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in the light. You have delivered me from the power of darkness, and you have conveyed unto me the kingdom of your Son and his love, in whom I have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. I take the prayers of the Apostle Paul. I take the prayers that he prayed over the churches, and I make those prayers personal into my life. And then sometimes I'll even put some other people's names in them, that God would bless them in these areas. We need to make the Word of God personal in our lives. We need to make the Word of God personal to each and every one of us, so that it would be burned into our hearts. And as we pray these prayers, and as I pray this prayer specifically, I pray that I would have the knowledge of God's will for my life, for my family, and for the ministry that he has called me to. The Apostle Paul says in verse number 10, and this is where I really want to focus, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Saints, how many of you listening want to please the Lord? I pray that to each and every one of you that's listening. I don't know how many of you follow this podcast. I don't know how many people listen. I pray that the numbers are growing, not because of me, but because it's the Word of God. But each and every one of us should desire to live a life that is pleasing to God. We should want to please God so that when we stand before him on that great and glorious day, we will hear what Jesus declared in Matthew 25:21, when he said, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter in." That should be the desire of each and every one of us, each and every one that makes up the body of Christ, to live a life that is pleasing to him. So how can we live a life that is pleasing to the Lord? I believe we could look at many scriptures and we could find different areas that the Lord says and different specific things that he says that we need to do, and we need to understand the Word. And when we read the Word and we make it personal and we pray these things out, we should highlight, we should underline, we should make part of our journal the things that we know that are pleasing to God. Matthew 22, verse 37 through 39, he says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart." And then second, you need to love your neighbor as you love yourself. In Mark chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus said that we need to have faith in God. In Hebrews 13, 5, he says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with what you have." In James chapter 4, verse 8, he says, "Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts." We need to have a pure heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, he says, "Let each one give as he purposes in his heart." In Matthew chapter 9, verse 13, Jesus said that we need to desire mercy. And then in Matthew 25, verse 40, he says, "Assuredly, I say to you, and as much as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." I could go on, and I could give you many, many more scriptures, but I have discovered in all of these things, these are the elements that the Lord tells us to do, to live a godly life, to live a righteous life, to live a life that is pleasing to Him. And I believe the Apostle Paul got a hold of this. And the Apostle Paul says, the church at Colossae, I want you to get a hold of this. And he says, how can you live a life that is fully pleasing to God? That is Paul's prayer, that we would live a life that is fully pleasing to God. So how, what do we need to do? How do we need to live a life that can fully please God? Paul says that we make our life fruitful, that we make our walk through this life fruitful. Ask yourself the question, how can my walk be fruitful? Look at this. Let me say this again. Verse 10. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. Listen, when I see stuff like that, I say, Lord, how can I fully please You? How can I walk in a manner that is worthy of the Lord? I want to get a hold of these things. And Paul says it's being fruitful in every good work. Now, I'm not going to bore you, nor am I going to butcher the Greek words in this passage. But it's important that you understand that as Paul is saying these things, and again, if you've listened to me, you've heard me say this, and I hate to sound like a broken record, but if there's somebody that's the first time listening, I want you to get this. Our Bible is a translation, and many times it's a translation of a translation, because the Bible was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic, and so sometimes we don't get the full grasp of what the author is saying because it has been so watered down sometimes in the English language. So let me break this down to you in a way that is understandable, hopefully, for you. And again, I'm not going to try to butcher all the Greek, but I want to help you to understand some things. First, Paul says that we make our walk worthy of the Lord. To walk is to make one's way progressive. Now, that doesn't take rocket science. You say, boy, Pastor Jim, you're really deep. No, understand this. Paul says that we would walk worthy of the Lord. As you walk, you're walking forward or backward. As you're walking, you're making progress. You're not standing still. You're moving forward. To walk is to make one's way progress, to make due use of opportunities, to conduct oneself in a like manner to Christ. So we need to ask ourselves the question, are we taking advantage of every area of our life? Are we taking advantage of our working life? Are we taking advantage of our resting life? Are we taking advantage of our family and recreational part of life? In everything we do, are we taking advantage to advance the kingdom of God? That is why we are here. That is why we are born again. That is why we are filled with the Holy Spirit, so that we can advance the kingdom of God, so that we can go and preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations. So as we walk this life out, are we advancing the kingdom of God in every aspect of our life? Peter says this in 1 Peter 2:9. He says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We, church, we are a chosen generation for the purpose to proclaim the praises of Him who called us out of darkness. So first, the Apostle Paul says that we need to walk. We need to make our way progressive. Secondly, he says we need to be fruitful in that walk. Being fruitful is to bear fruit. It's to bring forth and to multiply. Let me say that again. Being fruitful is to bear fruit, to bring forth and to multiply, to grow more. Not just to sit around and be content with my salvation, that, hey, I'm good with God, that I'm going to heaven, and so therefore I'm okay. No, we're to walk, we're to make progress, and we're to bear fruit. We're to grow more fruit. Jesus said in John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you that you should what? Go bear fruit. Jesus said that he chose us to bear fruit, fruit that remains. We need to make our way progressive. We need to bear fruit. We need to multiply what we're doing. And then thirdly, he says, we are to do this in every good work. The word good right here is the Greek word agathos. This word means upright, honorable, and useful. So we're supposed to walk it out, make progress, grow disciples, do so being fruitful, multiplying what we've done in what? Every good, every upright, every honorable, and every useful work. The Bible says in Revelation 3:8, Jesus said, I know your works. He knows our works. He knows what we're doing. Listen, don't think for one minute because you're by yourself, you're in your car, you're at home by yourself. Don't think for one minute that God doesn't know, that the Spirit of God is not there. He sees all things. He knows all things. Is your life bearing fruit? Church, God has opened the door for us that no one can shut. We know that we are not saved by works, but James tells us that faith without works is dead. What are you doing with the work that you are putting your hand to? What are you doing to live a life that is fruitful? What are you doing to multiply and to grow the kingdom of God? Fourth, he says in this passage of scripture, increasing. Increasing means to cause to grow, to multiply. It means an inward Christian growth. So not only are we growing by telling others the kingdom of God, but we are growing internally in a knowledge of God. Jesus says in the Great Commission in Mark 16:15, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We need to go and we need to preach, but before we can go and before we preach, we need to be filled and we need to have knowledge. Listen, you don't have to have a Bible degree and there's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to go to seminary and there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm telling you, you need to study to show yourself approved, a workman that should not be ashamed. Then you need to take what you have studied and you need to go tell others about it. You've got a testimony. The Bible says in Revelation, we've been made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. Go tell somebody your testimony. You have received knowledge of salvation through Jesus Christ. Go and share that knowledge with others that we would also grow the kingdom of God. And fifthly, he tells us this, that we will accomplish all of these things in the knowledge of God. The knowledge means through knowledge, discernment, or recognition of. It means through knowledge, discernment, or recognition of. Do you recognize what the Lord is doing? Can you acknowledge what God has done in your life and tell others about it? See, if we understand all of these things that we've read in verse 10 of Colossians chapter 1, then we can understand more clearly as we break this down to bring greater clarity to these things. Listen, I know that the Bible says we're not to add to nor take away. But sometimes we've got to break these things down to absorb them so that we can understand them. So as we broke Colossians 1:10 down, we could look at it and we could read it this way. We need to conduct ourselves in a way that multiplies in an upright and useful manner, which causes growth of a multitude of people through a thorough recognition of God. I want to say that one more time so you'll get a hold of it. We need to conduct ourselves in a way that multiplies in an upright and useful manner, which causes growth of a multitude of people through a thorough recognition of God. What does that mean? Discipleship. Discipleship. This is the mandate of the local church to go and to make disciples. Discipling men and women, boys and girls, to go out into society, to go to their jobs, to go to their schools, to go to their neighbors, to go to the highways and byways, and to conduct themselves in a way that multiplies in an upright and useful manner, which causes growth of a multitude of people through a thorough recognition of God. We need to go in every walk of our lives, and we need to be telling people about Jesus and making disciples for Christ. Let's look at a quick example of how Jesus demonstrated this. Go to John chapter 4 if you have. I'm not going to read all of this. You can read it later. But in John chapter 4, Jesus and his disciples are walking on their way to Galilee. In verse 4, he says, I need to go through Samaria. I need to go through Samaria. Samaria was not a place that Jews would want to go through. They are not people group that got along with each other, and the Jews would look down their nose on the Samaritans as half-breeds and outcasts because of Ishmael. How many of you can say that there have been times in your life where you felt an urgent need to go somewhere or to do something and you didn't understand why? How many of you have refused to do what you're feeling because it did not fit your schedule, nor did it make sense to your fleshly mind? Yeah. Though it made no sense to his disciples, Jesus said he had need to go. In verses 20, or 6 through 26, in verses 6 through 26 of John chapter 4, Jesus stops at a well. He allows the disciples to go into the town, to the marketplace. He discerns some things about this woman at the well, and he imparts some knowledge into her that could only come from God. Then in verse 27 through 38, this woman goes and brings the rest of the town back because of her experience with Jesus. The whole town received from the Lord. What took place? Jesus shared knowledge. The woman went and told others of this knowledge. She brought them back. They got saved. This is called multiplication. Jesus's walk was fruitful, upright, and increasing in the kingdom, and it imparted knowledge to others that their walk also was duplicated. That's what the woman did. She had an encounter with Jesus. She went and shared that encounter with others. Then she multiplied, which is bearing fruit, and others came. That is what the church is called to do. John chapter 7, verse 17 says, if anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. See, the authority in which I stand before you today is not of myself or of a denomination. It is of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the ministry that I have been involved in for the last 12 years was birthed not out of a plan of self, nor was it birthed out of a comfortable plan, but it was birthed out of something the Lord impressed upon my heart that I needed to do. In 2007, we were seeing multiple people getting saved, multiple people getting delivered from drug addiction, and we needed a way to disciple those people. I was doing evangelism at Trinity Assembly of God in Allgood, Tennessee. We were doing street ministry, and we were seeing people radically set free, and they were coming to our church and coming to our office, and they were looking for more. And we were sending people to teen challenge centers in Texas and Memphis and Georgia and Michigan and Kentucky. And my pastor came to me and he says, we need to look at what it would take to start a teen challenge right here because there was such a great need. In 2007, 2008, 2009, there was nothing in this area to help minister to the drug addicts in a way that was benefiting them by the kingdom of God. There were some secular programs, but there was nothing Christian-based in this area. So in 2009, I left Trinity Assembly, and me and my wife started the ministry of adult and teen challenge at the Upper Cumberland that has grown from 6 beds in a rented facility to a 49-acre campus with 24 beds. We have multiplied the kingdom of God. We have dispersed knowledge to over 650 men and women, and we are seeing people that are now in ministry themselves that are telling others about Jesus Christ. This is the discipleship process, and it's not only to be done through the ministries of Adult and Teen Challenge, but it's to be done in the local church. The Church of Jesus Christ is not to be one of denomination, but one of multiplication. Paul said that we may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Are we living a fruitful life? Are we increasing in knowledge ourselves and in the ministry of others? That is the question that we need to ask ourselves and examine everything we do. We need to ask and examine, is my life fruitful? Am I walking in a manner that is worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ? Father, I pray again. Bless each and every one that has heard this podcast. May we examine our hearts and may we ask ourselves, are we fulfilling the mandate of the Lord our God to walk worthy of the Lord, being pleasing to you, and being fruitful in every work? Lord, help us to do these things, to make the adjustments that we need to make, to see men and women come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and then go out also and declare that good news, making disciples. Father, we love you, we thank you, and we give you praise for these things, for we ask them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.